Would turn in your Bible to Genesis 22, and we'll read an account there. It's interesting. Jan, as you shared your devotional, and you spoke about Abraham, and how Abraham is such a blessing, and how he has been an example for us in so many ways. And we are going to read a story about Abraham. Very much a fitting story for our lives. And Abraham has lived a life... It's just amazing, the things and the direction that he went when God spoke to him. He moved. I had started here 2 weeks ago. I started a series on non-resistance, and was planning to, and I continue to plan to move ahead with that. However, with communion coming up next Sunday, I felt that maybe this Sunday, looking at our lives and examining ourselves prior to that, I felt that I should maybe share something maybe relating to that in a greater way. There is a passage in 1 Corinthians that I would like to read. You can stay in Genesis where you're at. But in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 and 29, and it gives a picture of the Lord's Supper. And then 27 through 29 says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so from that passage, I want to draw our hearts and our minds to look personally at each one of our lives, and where God maybe is speaking to you, to myself. And if there is something there, that we are willing to examine that and to look at that. And if there's clearing to be done, we can do that. If there's praise to be given, we can do that as well. So the title this morning is All on the Altar. That is the title, All on the Altar. The story we're going to read is about Abraham and Isaac and their journey up Mount Moriah. We want to read Genesis 22, 1 through 19. And as we read this account, after we read this, I would like to open it up. And I would like for some of you to just share, just very briefly, if it's just a word or two or whatever, but share very briefly what really stands out to you in this story of Abraham and the call that was given to him, and his willingness to go. Just state something in this story, a picture that you get, or something that you see that is very powerful, and then we'll move on into the message. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 19. And you can stand with me as we read this. "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.' So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am, my son.' Then he said, 'Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' And Abraham said, 'My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering.' So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there, and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, and he said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because of you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. Thank you. You may be seated. Wonderful story. What stands out to you? Just going to spend just a little time. What stands out to you in this account that is just very quick? Yes, Hugh.
This was potentially child sacrifice.
Okay.
Scary. His only child.
Yep. And yet, he carried through.
But he would have seen all the other nations around in the area only doing things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably thought, have something to do too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. But this was something that was dear to his heart. All right. Any other part of the story? Yes, Dietrich.
What really strikes me is in verse 5, where Abraham said, "The man and I will go yonder and worship, and
mm-hmm.
we will come back to you."
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually the first mention of the word worship in the Bible.
Okay.
So that is, you know, that is really what worship is.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, everything that's precious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. But also the fact that we will come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it also speaks as well about the level of the state that mm-hmm. God, as it says, the moments that Abraham believed that what God had promised
mm-hmm. to would do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that idea of worship and committing it to God, and then the faith that came through that. We see that. Very powerful. Yes, Natalia. Okay. Very good. Thank you for that. Yeah. This is something he loved very dearly. And now this was an example. Can he trust God in that? Mm-hmm. Chris. Okay.
God will provide.
Very nice.
Because whatever happened before led to this point, to mm-hmm. that statement. And whatever happened after, well, it was always that statement, that thing. So the Lord will provide. For Abraham, it was just a lamb that was given, and that triggered him to give that name. Mm-hmm. But for us looking back now, we know that that means Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham
didn't, at that point he didn't see that, but he's seen that God did provide, and that's beautiful. I love that as well. God will provide for each one of us as well, as he asks us to lay things on the altar. Anyone else just want to say something?
Unquestioning obedience.
So true. When God said his name, different times, he immediately answered and he said, "Here am I." It wasn't waiting around or it wasn't running or anything. It was, "Here am I." Very, very powerful. And we could go on. And there's many places we could go with this story. We could take this story and go many different directions. Where I would like to go with it this morning is the goal that I would like that each one of us would learn here is that Abraham, and it was mentioned here, Abraham gave probably what was dearest to him. He gave it all. He gave what God was asking him, and that was pretty much, well, it was his only son, Isaac. And he was willing to give that all up to the Lord. And what I would like is to focus on that giving everything to the Lord when he asks of each one of us, whatever that may be. What comes to your mind when you think of an altar? None of you mention in this story, but there was an altar here. There was a place. Whatever that altar looked like, I'm not sure, but there was a structure, I'm sure, in place, whether he built it or it was there. But there was something there that he went to, and it was an altar. And he placed first Isaac on it, then, of course, the ram. But when you think of an altar today, where does your mind go? What do you think of? Does your mind go all the way back to Bible times and the altars they had back then? Do you think of altar today in a church? Maybe some of you have been in churches that have altars. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm just curious. How many of you come from a church or have been in churches that have altars where you would pray at? Okay? A number of you. We don't have one here, but we could come and pray here at the front, or we can pray wherever. And I'm not going to speak about altars today. I'm not against altars. I don't have a problem with an altar. I'm thinking of someone that now that I know, a very devout Christian person, and they have a location at a certain place that they go to pray. It's kind of just a certain spot, and I'm okay with that. I think those places are good. But it's not the altar, it's not the structure, it's not whatever it is. It's what's important is my heart and my life. And so as we look at that here today, what does an altar look like for the Christian today? Thanks to Jesus, the altar, the sacrificial method in the old times is out. We no longer have to burn sacrifices and kill animals and things for forgiveness of sins and to cry out to God. We can do that now personally. Today, this altar is found in each one of us. Acts 17:24-25. It says, "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." So I don't think God is interested in structural buildings, churches, altars, whatever that may be. He wants something that is a personally from each one of you. Listen to what this says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So now we are this temple of God. He lives within us. He dwells within us. And so let's kind of get that picture. It's different now than what it was back then. God dwells within each one of us. We are the temple of God. 1 Peter 2:1-5. Here it's speaking of something, speaking of living stones. And let's see what it says. It says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Now here, 4 and 5 is where I want you to catch what it's saying. It says, "Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also as living stones, that is you and us, are being built up a spiritual house. So now we are that house. We are this temple that God is living in. It is no longer an altar or a certain place or an ark. It is personally. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So since my body now is the temple of God, that is where I believe that altar now is found. That is where I come to. It's my heart. It's more of a heart condition. And since that is the case, then I should never leave this altar. This altar should kind of travel with me. It should be a part. It is within me. I need to be able to maintain this altar, have an altar consciousness, listen for the Lord to speak through His Word, through people, even through nature and things. Being altar conscious. This altar today is a heart issue. Even back in Jeremiah, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." He doesn't say at a particular place, but listen to what the next verse said. "And you will seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." It's the heart. That is what God is after today. It is my responsibility to build this altar for the Lord to then draw me and to for His love then to burn on this altar, to maintain it and to visit this altar daily. It's something that is left to each one of us. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies," what? "A living sacrifice." A living sacrifice. "Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." This same word, this living sacrifice, this same living is this exact same word that I just read here back in 1 Peter of living stones. It's the exact meaning. Exact meaning. Something that is alive. Something that is active. This living sacrifice needs to always have a flame that is burning. Since this altar now is a heart issue today, it's no longer an altar where we actually go to burn sacrifices. Since this altar now is a heart issue, what should this altar look like for us today as Christians? What should it look like for you personally, for me? So I want to be very practical, and I want to give a little illustration today so we can maybe picture a little bit better what this altar is all about and the importance of you and I maintaining this altar and putting it in place and visiting it daily. And how well is this fire burning? Maybe some of those listening in and not seeing this illustration may not quite understand. But we want to take some practical areas of life and we want to build something with them. I have 10 stones here in the pulpit. And I want to bring these out, and I want to attempt to show us something here today, hopefully that will stay with each one of us. Thinking of your life, your heart, and us being an altar to the Lord. What do we give? And of course, Abraham, he gave his all, his son, everything that God asked him to, he gave. He gave himself. And so what all does that involve for me? And it involves my whole life. And so I just went through and I picked out about 9 or 10 areas that I say is something that we need to lay on the altar. It's something that I need to daily visit. It's something that I need to give to God regularly. And so I just picked out a few, and we could go. You have some maybe that I haven't even mentioned. And so these 10 stones that I have are just 10 that I've chosen. You could go other areas in your life. But let's get started with that. The first one I just have is my life. Just my life. And I'm going to put this up here, so I'm going to have to start over here. Now, that's a stone. It's a wood block, but I made it to look like a stone or a brick. That says my life. Do I acknowledge Christ's ownership of my life? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "We are bought with a price. We are not our own. We just read that verse, I think, here this morning. We are bought with a price. We are not our own. Do we understand that? Do you understand that Christ is owner of your life? Is my life totally surrendered to Christ? Am I? Are my muscles relaxed? Are you totally surrendered in every area of your life? As you think of this altar and giving that to Christ, totally surrendered to the will of God. Sometimes we can be almost surrendered, but yet there's still a little bit of a twitch or something, you know, and we just can't quite trust or have the faith maybe that God really knows, or is he really asking for this? Have I totally surrendered my life to Christ? Am I reserving a compartment of my life that's kind of just for myself? Or does God have every compartment of my life? So that's my life, and you could go many, many places, and we will branch off from that. So my life, and then what about time? Each one of us has to deal with time. Each one of us has time, and so we're working here now on building something. My time. Do I have time set aside each day for Bible reading and prayer? Look at that and answer that personally, each one of you. How well are you doing daily reading God's word and praying, meditating? Do you have a time set aside for that? It's very, very important. It's very important. It's probably one of the most confessed sins of the Christian is that lack of this time with God. And it's something that must take place. It must be given to God. How do you use your free time? If you have free time, I think we all have a day off a week here or there, or maybe once a week. What do you do, or even in the evening, what do you do with time that you have that is free, that you have for yourself? Is it time well spent? How do you react when you have something, a time that's scheduled, and you have something you are going to do, and then someone interrupts that with something, whatever it might be? I had a situation the other day. I was ready to do something, and I was moving in that direction, literally, and it stopped for about 20 minutes. And that's okay. Guess what? I still got done what I needed to get done, and time just had to kind of stop. We have to do that. But how does that feel to you? Are we okay with that, or do we resent it? Whose time is it anyway? Do I readily give them my time when someone needs it? Do I waste time? Do you waste time? Thinking back of this past week, did you waste any time? And if you did, maybe you can make it up this next week. So that's time. You could go more places with that. What about this one? My body. My body. So how important is that to God? I would say it's very important to him. Your body. Are any of your members being used to sin against God? And I think you can answer that, each one of you personally. Think of your eyes, your hands, your feet, your mouth, whatever it is. Think about it. Is there any part of your body? Just remember now, we are the temple of God. And so, is there any part of your body that you have used or are using to sin against God? Romans 6:13 says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Thinking of your body, are you okay with the way God made you? Can you accept the way God made you? I think every one of us, if you would have the privilege to change something about yourself and your body, your physical appearance, we probably would change at least one thing, right? Maybe a whole list of things. But are we okay with the way God has made us? Do you continually just struggle, or can this be a part of this altar experience? Can you give that to God in a sacrificial way and be okay with that? I don't see any of you hobbling around here physically handicapped, but maybe some of you do have a handicap of some kind. How does that feel? Are you okay with that? And we know of many people that have physical handicaps, and they've had to deal with that and have accepted it and used it for the glory of God. They have put that down as part of their altar, and they have used it. So would we be okay with a physical handicap if God would put one of those in our lives? And then, of course, looking at our bodies, and I touched on it in the first, am I morally pure? Are we pure? Are our bodies pure and holy before God? It must be before He can live and dwell within us. Now, we have another one here, but that one might be a little tough. I'm not quite ready to place that one there yet. Let's just move on. Number five, my possessions. I have one here, my possessions. Now, some of you say, well, I don't have much possessions, but we all do. You have possessions of some kind, and maybe they very fairly valuable to you. Do I treat my possessions as mine or as God's? The things that you do have, maybe what little you have, or however much you have, do you see them as yours, something you worked for, something you inherited or whatever, or are they truly God's? Do I own anything that I would have a hard time getting rid of because of God asking me to get rid of it for whatever reason, whatever that might be? How easy is it to part with something? Am I willing to share my possessions? Some of you might have a piece of equipment or something that someone else may could use. I know a brother that I have a hard time going to him just because I know that it just is difficult for him to let go of something that he has, afraid that it might not come back in the right condition. And so I just don't even go there. But it feels much better to go to someone and say, listen, can I borrow this, when I know that person is very okay with it. In fact, they like to give of their things to someone else to use. How do people look at you and your possessions? How possessive are you of that? Are you willing to give and to sacrifice? If it comes back broke, might be okay. I know we want to help that person if that is their tendency, but I think it becomes a personal thing sometimes with us as well. Am I content with what I do have, or do I want more? You know, we can be involved in this whole possession thing of wanting more, seeing someone else have something, and I want more. But are you okay with what God has given to you and leave it there? My mind, another part of my life or my body here, is your mind. Where did your mind fit in here in this building project we have going? Am I bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? And that is taken from 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do I think on things that are pure, lovely, that are just and good? That's Philippians 4:8. Does your mind, is that where your mind is at? Are the things that you think lovely, pure, and of a good report? What kind of books, magazines, or music do you fill your mind with? Maybe part of this free time we talked about. What are you putting into your mind? Are the things going into your mind those that would glorify God? Think about that. The books you read, the magazines, and music, and you could go more places with that. Is your mind, is my mind, is it disciplined that when it's going places or wanting things that we can stop it and we say, no, we don't go there. No, I don't read that. No, I don't listen to that. How disciplined are you in your mind? And then we have another one is my will. All of us have a will. Is my will. Is there something there? So we set my will, but what do we need over here? There it fits, but it's fairly shaky, isn't it? Let's go back in this building progress. God wants everything, okay? So remember, we hit one that I said, I'm not quite ready for that. Let's put that one up. Let's put it over here, because it looks like it needs that to stabilize everything. Now, there's nothing that's... I didn't pull the tongue out necessarily just because of that. But the tongue is one that you need to give to the Lord as well. The tongue. What are the words that come out of your mouth? Are they words of life? Or are you known more for speaking more in a complaining way or a discouraging way? What words come out of your mouth? I'm looking ahead here. Do I look for an advantage, an opportunity to verbalize, to give a witness to God about God verbally? Do I use my tongue to share Christ to someone else? We use our tongue a lot, but do we use it to share Christ? How often have I shared a testimony for Christ here at church? I think it's important that we do that. And this afternoon, you can have that opportunity. But not even when it's somewhat required of you. But just to give it anytime. Any of you, even younger children, my children at home say, you don't have to be a member of the church to stand up and say something that God did for you, whether it was something you lost and you found. We would love to hear from younger people. Standing up and sharing something for Christ does something for you. It gives you strength and courage to move on. Do I lay my tongue on this altar and ask God to guard it? Is it something that happens? Now, we'll go to my will. And now that sets up there and it's quite stable. This structure can continue to grow. But when I take one out, it becomes weak. And God does not want that. He wants our all on this altar. Now, we are on my will. Is there anything that God has shown to me to be His will that I have been neglecting or refusing to obey? And you know that personally. Do you know something that God is asking from you that you know is His will, but maybe not quite your will? Are you willing to obey and listen? Is your will easily broken, or are you known as a strong-willed person? We hear of the strong-willed child and how we deal with those. And, you know, we have to kind of set them down and deal with them. But how is your will? Is it strong, or is your will broken before God? Am I submissive to those in authority over me? And each one of us have those in our lives. My affections. We'll place that one here. My affections. Are my desires, my appetites, and longings under God's control? Do I love Christ more than the earth and its pleasures about me? What about my affections? Where do your affections go? We talked about Samson this morning. His affections were at the wrong place. It destroyed him. Am I in bondage to any earthly or fleshly or sinful desires through the affections? Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Are your affections put in the right and proper place? What about relationships? My relationships. Do I seek a relationship with Christ? Is that where I go? Is that what I want first and foremost? Or do I go more for a relationship with someone else, a human being? It's maybe easier to go and to find that, but we need that relationship first and foremost with Christ. Our friends and those around us are important. We need that relationship, but they can fail us, and then what? But if we have this relationship with Christ, He is there. He is there for us. Have I surrendered to God all my desires, my rights, and my expectations regarding my relationships? Maybe you want a relationship. God hasn't brought it there, whatever that might be. Have you surrendered that? Has that been a part of your altar experience? Am I holding on maybe to a friendship or a relationship that I should not be holding on to? Someone that I need to remove myself from. You need to, if that is what God is asking you to. Bad company is not something we want. So, as you see here, we are building something. Well, what is it starting to look like? I hope it's starting to look like an altar. That is what we've been talking about. Here is what Abraham put up on the altar. He put himself on that altar, basically, when he put his son Isaac there. God had asked Abraham to give what was the closest and the dearest thing to him, and he was willing to carry that through. Is there any part of my life that I am holding back myself? And I really believe that, and you could add on here, and you could make this however big you want, because there's many other places that we need to give to God. And as we build, as we work on this altar, God brings other stones and things that he asks us about. And if we need to work on it, then we need to put it in this picture. But I believe at the top of this altar, God is asking us to put ourselves. Because when I put myself there, it takes care of my entire being. Am I settled that the ultimate purpose of my life is to please God and to bring glory to him? That is what God has created you and me for, is to bring glory to him. Am I satisfied with that? Am I willing to give my life wholly for him, for his pleasure, rather than for myself and my pleasures? We are selfish in nature, and we want things kind of for ourselves, for our own benefit. How well have I given myself and my will, all of these, to God? Have I surrendered all that I am and all that I have to God? Since the altar today that we are talking about is all about the heart, let's just put this here. This is the altar, and now this is maybe our heart. You kind of get a picture there. So that's your heart. And as God brings more things to your life, and he asks you to put that on the altar, then we need to be able to fit that in. And I believe as we hear God's voice speaking and we answer like Abraham, we say, "Here I am," and we move ahead in obedience, we will build this altar. And this altar will be something that's within us. It's something that we carry with us. It's something that we maintain, and it's something that God then can use. You remember that living sacrifice that we are called to be. Now that our heart today, the Christian altar, is more about the heart. So now that this heart today, this altar today is about the heart, let's look at it in this way. Maybe looking at it and saying, my heart, Christ's altar, and then his love, the flame. So, if that's the case, and we have a heart here that is on fire, one that is burning, the altar is built, and you see the things that we just talked about, and maybe there's another thing in your life that you have thought about, we didn't put there, but you can put them there. We are called to be a living sacrifice, and as we are a living sacrifice, God's flame will burn on this altar. God will be glorified. As this altar, remember earlier, we took out a piece. The altar is very unsound, very unstable, but if it's there in a proper order, and we surrender every part of our life, and I put myself on the very top, then I believe God's love will burn and will be a light for others, will warm my heart as well. We just sit here and watch that flame, and notice here as it dies out, and think about that as you look at your own life. Is the flame in your life? Is it burning? Or has the flame in your life slowly went out? Maybe there's a flicker, but
but it won't be long. Song sheets in front of you. I would like to close with the song that you have in front of you, and that song is about placing our all on the altar. I've asked David to lead that, and I think we know that good enough, so maybe we can have that at this time, and we'll kind of give that as a prayer. I think we have the fire out now. And as we sing this song, may you think of what maybe God has spoken to you on in looking at this altar that God has now put in each one of our hearts, in our lives. How well have you maintained it? How well is that fire burning? Have you fully surrendered? Have you fully given your all on the altar? David, if you lead that.